My husband lowers the volume of the music so as not to wake the children. The chorus repeats as though to taunt me with the idea that loving is easy. My husband listens to this Rex Orange County song on repeat. Does he do it on purpose to emphasize my inability to love like everyone else? Perhaps instead he's trying to show me the way, send me a subtle message. Look, loving can be easy if you let it be, but I doubt it. I have a tendency to see the negative in everything, but his song choices are rarely kind, and English language pop is often the start of our iciest nights. My husband is always the one who chooses the music. He makes the playlist for our love life and regularly updates the soundtrack of our family life. With a click, he sets the tone, deciding whether the ambiance will be melancholic or festive, militant or romantic. Over time, I've even learned to detect whether he's in a good or bad mood based on the song. I choose the music only when I'm in my car. When I'm alone, I listen to whatever songs are on the radio, and I still buy CDs for my drives. Right now, I'm listening to a freckle musician who sings wonderfully about his divorce. Weirdly enough, the album is called Paradise. While my husband takes his shower, I wait on the sofa. I feel like a piece of the furniture. With the music as background noise and the decorating magazines left on the coffee table to help pass the time, it's like I'm in a waiting room. I flip through The Lover with the tips of my fingers without reading it. When my husband finally joins me again, I close the book. Systematically, when my husband enters the room, I put down my book, turn off the radio, set aside my work, switch off the television. Out of reflex, I stop what I'm doing. I make myself available. My husband puts on a jazz standard, but it's not just any song. This was our first dance song on our wedding night. How could I possibly think his song choices are random when the proof is undeniable? My husband didn't help pick out the color of the wedding announcements, nor did he have any real opinions on the menu. However, he had insisted on picking out the song for our first dance, saying, "I want Day by Day." I had suggested an acoustic version of Sweep Me Off My Feet instead. The song from the night we first met, I liked the symbolism of it, but he refused. He repeated 100 times that Day by Day was the most beautiful love song ever written. I listened to it 100 times without ever being able to grasp its beauty. The idea is simplistic. Frank Sinatra sings that he is falling more in love each day. How could my husband subscribe to such a dangerous idea? I've always loved my husband unconditionally, since day one, with the same intensity, and nothing has ever changed it. I thought, mistakenly, that this was also how my husband thought of marriage, before I heard the words of that song. The terrible truth was laid bare. His love for me was still growing 2 years after we met, and he found this variation of sentiment normal. If my husband thought he would always love me more as time went on, didn't that mean that he would never really love me in the present? On the dance floor, in front of our friends and family, this quotation by the philosopher Blaise Pascal came back to me with terror. If we are always preparing to be happy, it is inevitable that we will never be so. I often look through the pages of our wedding photo album on the top shelf of our library. Am I the only one who sees the 2 tears of sadness in the corners of my eyes while I'm in his arms during our first dance? My husband shuts off the music and turns on the television. I would prefer that we talk, but I stay silent. Less than an hour earlier, he had said goodnight to our children and told them a final story in a way only he knows how to do. He used the right tone. He laughed. He was affectionate. But now that we're finally alone, he seems completely emptied out. There is nothing left of him. He's as hollow as a plastic water bottle. Daily life exhausts him. If he can't spend the remainder of the night alone, relaxing without having to answer to anyone, then my husband at least needs peace and quiet. On weeknights, I can't speak too loudly, can't broach serious topics of conversation, can't stimulate him. The only thing to do is to let him rest. He's used to my presence. He's not surprised to see me sitting next to him on the sofa. When we're in the same room, he isn't thinking about the strength of our love or the improbable alignment of circumstances that led to us meeting. He doesn't jump when I move. He doesn't wonder whether I'm leaving for good when I go to the kitchen to make a cup of tea. His body doesn't lean toward mine to make sure it's real. I feign interest in the movie, but all my attention is concentrated on a single mission, placing my hand on his. I slide my fingers beneath his palm, but 2 minutes later, my husband changes position and lets go of my hand. Ah, do not run away yet. Leave it. Let my hand be forgotten in your hand. Romeo's beseeching of Juliet seems right to me. The Gounod opera is reenacted on my sofa several nights per week. I wish I had the courage to turn to him and shout that our meeting was a miracle, make him understand that my hand in his is the most beautiful sight he'll ever witness. How could I become familiar to him so quickly? After the first months of enchantment, I observed, powerless, the merging of our lives, which only wound up distancing us even more. The emotionally loaded looks and the awkward gestures were replaced by a gentle complicity. Passion was snuffed out to make room for the quotidian. In the beginning, our romantic landscape was like an infinite stretch of dunes. It evoked the danger of barrenness, the immensity of the starry sky, the stifling heat of the day, and the sudden cold of the night. Then the desert became a lake, a flat, smooth expanse. I saw my husband become so used to my presence that he no longer found it miraculous. As I'm counting how long my husband keeps his arm on my knee, I'm satisfied when it lasts more than 2 minutes, he suddenly takes out his phone from his pocket. Is he bored? I don't understand his need to be in contact with the outside world when I'm right next to him. How could he tap away on his keyboard in my presence? What could be more important right now? I think of all the slights I've endured since Monday, which continue tonight. I was right. Pop music in English is never a good sign, as evidenced by the fact that he has his phone out when I'm right next to him, as evidenced by the fact that he didn't put his hand back on mine and our bodies are no longer touching, not even our knees, as evidenced by the fact that he doesn't ask me how my translation is going, as evidenced by the fact that he doesn't thank me again for bringing his folder this afternoon, as evidenced by the fact that he still hasn't apologized for turning me into a Clementine, as evidenced by the fact that he doesn't offer to make an exception and leave the shutters open tonight, as evidenced by the fact that he doesn't tell me that our children are wonderful and that our life together is a blessing. I begin to fantasize about my husband turning toward me suddenly and touching my legs. We'd exchange a few affectionate words as he moved his hand along my thigh. He'd turn me over on the sofa, pull off my dress, violently press his hand against my mouth, and shove his cock between my wet thighs. I imagine it so vividly, but my husband doesn't make any move at all, because he's too busy watching TV. He changes the channel, then turns the TV off entirely. This unilateral control over the remote leaves me wondering, is my husband authoritarian? He doesn't ask me whether I want to watch the movie. He doesn't say, as other husbands surely do, should we turn it off? He never says the transitional phrases that signal the conclusion of one activity in the beginning of another, like should we go to bed? He acts without giving any advance notice. He grabs the remote, turns off the television, stands up and goes to bed. He doesn't put words to things. I'm left to piece it together on my own. I'm convinced that if I were to put a camera in Nicolas and Louise's living room, or in Lucie and Pierre's, I would witness a completely different scene. At a certain point in the evening, one of them would ask the other if they can turn off the TV, or say that they're tired and want to go to bed. Perhaps I would even see their bodies draw closer once the television is off, watch them kiss and touch. That's when my husband says to me, word for word, I don't know what's going on these days. It's still March weather, even though it's already the beginning of June. It's like there aren't any seasons anymore. I stand up so that he doesn't notice my tears and go to boil some water to make myself another tea. The sound will cover up that of my tears, even if this kind of crying is generally silent. When my husband talks to me about the rain or sun, when he doesn't take my hand, when he turns me into a clementine, when he keeps his eyes open during a kiss, I am as vulnerable as a 16-year-old, as a 6-year-old even. I don't know what's going on these days. It's still March weather, even though it's already the beginning of June. It's like there aren't any seasons anymore. It is unacceptable that my husband would talk to me about the weather. It is unacceptable that we have nothing else to say to each other. Not after all my efforts to maintain stimulating and wide-ranging conversations between us. I don't know what's going on these days. It's still March weather, even though it's already the beginning of June. It's like there aren't any seasons anymore. Today, I have the proof. We were a rocket headed for space, our love escaping the Earth's magnetic field. Now we're more like a freight train, slow, heavy, monotonous. Drying my tears, I try to muster up the courage to join him in the bedroom. I often wonder whether my husband purposely heads to bed first so as not to have to turn off all the lights behind him. For the ambiance tonight, I used what I could find, 3 candles and a small lamp, since the floor lamp broke this afternoon. At least it won't ruin any more nights with my husband with its overly aggressive light. I take advantage of being alone to write a few lines in my notebook. Of course, I record how he withdrew his hand from mine just now on the sofa, how he took his phone from his pocket when I was right next to him. Once more, writing calms me down. Before going upstairs, I use the bathroom on the ground floor, a real blessing. Upstairs, the bathroom is right next to our bedroom, which means I have to go downstairs under the guise of making myself a cup of tea or looking for the book I'm reading, or else I say that I forgot to run the dishwasher. Because after 15 years of life together, I still prefer to lie, to make myself sick, to wait to go at school or at a restaurant, whatever I have to do so that my husband never hears me go to the bathroom.